Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Freo Big Footy Podcast. This week we'll be talking about the big game in WA, obviously with Derby number 40 coming up, with Fremantle looking to keep their top four hopes alive, while the Eagles will be, for them, playing their sort of virtual grand final for them, looking for a spot in the eight, while we'll also have a quick look over the game from last week where the sort of hardy souls, 25,000 of us, went down to Patterson's and sort of sat in the rain and watched Fremantle demolish a pretty poor Brisbane side. We'll also have a bit of a look at the Waffle game in the Peel game for this week. And with us this week as well, we'll have a one of the Eagles posters on board, and he'll give us a bit of a rundown about the Eagles and what's happening over there briefly with the Waffle as well. Joining us this week is our usual resident expert from Victoria. Seppo, how are you, mate?
I am very good and glad to be back for another week of football, trenched in the top four.
Absolutely. It's been a while since we've got there, so it's terrific to see us in there. And also joining us this week after a couple of weeks off, Valcrum, nice of you to be back, mate.
You're welcome. Glad to be back.
Excellent. And joining us from over on the Eagles board, who does the Eagles podcast over there, we've also got Five Strings joining us this week. Thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries. Yeah, good to be in enemy territory for once.
Absolutely. And first of all, we'll just touch on the game from last week where Fremantle did a pretty solid demolition job on the Brisbane Lions. It was a pretty sort of scrappy first quarter, but then Fremantle sort of put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, in the second quarter and pulled away. And then after that, it was sort of just how far for Fremantle. Fremantle broke a couple of records this week with obviously the lowest inside 50s, which has been well documented, with only 17 inside 50s for Brisbane, and obviously keeping them to 1 point in the first half. What did you think of the game, Seppo?
Well, I thought it was quite interesting, that point of just the first half dominance and how we got all the way to half time with only 1 point scored. So it was great to see we did put the foot on the floor. I didn't think this was going to be a high scoring game due to the weather, and I feel sorry for all those that braved the cold and wet out at Subiaco. And I suppose that crowd number was indicative of how, not the time slot, but the weather that really battered WA for that weekend. And let's just hope this weekend we're looking at a better atmosphere at the game for the Derby, because this one was surely one that many will probably forget and got home very quickly from it. So it was great to see a dominant performance, not too many highlights out of the whole game. And well, I suppose my biggest highlight for the whole thing was Sylvia's first full game and the way he actually played with a bit of heart and effort. And even though he didn't, you could see he was desperate, he was goal hungry, but he just put in a really good four-quarter effort.
And Valcrum, what about yourself? What did you think of the game on the weekend?
Well, same thing as Seppo, that the thought it was going to be really low scoring because it was pretty ordinary weather. And once again, big ups to the guys who turned up to actually watch the game. But no, I liked Lachie Neal. I mean, it's sort of kind of obvious to say with 34 touches. I mean, I thought this was one of his better games. In fact, I probably thought he played better than when he won the Glendenny medal last time.
Yeah, he was definitely good in and under, but and getting that ball out, and that's what you sort of want to see from Neal. He's got those clean hands, which,
especially in a wet weather where, you know, you could see quite clearly Freo was playing a territory game. They all spoke about it after the game. It was literally get it forward and locking Neal in and under, getting out the guys or getting it on the boot and getting it forward. And well, not many times he got on the boot. I think he only got, what, 8 or 9 kicks or something, but
yeah,
getting it to someone so they can move it forward and played his role. And, you know, as Ross says, you play your role, you get another game.
It's really great to have someone like Lachie Neal that sort of complements, you know, the big three, as they call them, Fife, Mundy and Barlow. And I actually saw Lachie Neal in the put a bit of money on him for the most disposals in that second group, which was nice, tasty odds, because I knew he, you know, in a game like this when it's a bit of wet weather footy and his low sort of centre of gravity, the way he bobs up and around the contest, he's struck a good couple of performances together and got to that top echelon of midfield disposal winners. So, yeah, he's one to look out for every week to be a nice little accumulator.
That was good. Ryan Crowley, I thought, played well on Hanley. Just took Hanley out of the game, who's actually been good running off halfback onto the wing for Brisbane. Gets up his 20 touches and gets some nice forward momentum going. He just absolutely, Hanley had no idea what was going on, whether that's, you know, late to the game being an Irishman or not, but Crowley's performance is good. Daniel Pearce was really good as well. So all around, it was a good effort, but I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but we're playing a Brisbane side that is not in the same caliber that we are presently.
Yeah, and also I think it was great to see Ballantyne continue his terrific form, and obviously stringing together a couple of weeks in a row, getting those five goals was also a highlight. And obviously, for all those Freo fans listening today, obviously a couple of really good bits of news, and with Fife extending his contract for 3 years, and I think showed last week even in patches where he was just sort of dominant getting that clearance work through the middle there in the wet, and was just a class above a lot of those players out there. So kudos to Rockcliffe, who certainly battled hard all day.
But we would have been very happy not having Crowley hanging off him all day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, you know, I don't think there was any sort of probably any doubt that Fife was going to stay at Freo. But it was still nice to get that signature on the paper. And I think it was a pretty good deal all round, really. I think that 3 years sort of gives him a good bargaining power in 3 years and keeps him as a restricted free agent for Fremantle as well.
That's the thing. The 3 years, people sit there and I've spoken to all people, they go, oh, you only signed him for 3 years. Oh, he's going to go, he's going to go. I think that's actually fantastic because it makes him, like you said, restricted free agent. So it means we can match any offer that's put to him when his next contract runs out. He's going to be 25.
Yeah.
When that contract runs out.
So he'll actually be in a better position to negotiate when he comes to that time. He'll still be in peak form and probably do a longer-term deal at that stage when he comes out.
Then we can pick up a four or five-year deal, get him till he's 30, 29, 30, and, you know, some good money. And I personally think it's a fantastic deal. A lot of people sitting there going, 3 years, oh, well, he's going to stay for 3 years and then go to somewhere else. But no, I think that's just perfect for everybody involved. Him, he's going to get his maximum money. And Freo is going to get the potential to lock him up as a restricted free agent for a long-term contract when he's in his peak.
Absolutely. Just while you're on there, Five Strings, obviously you guys had it's been probably unusual for there to be both teams coming off a win in a derby or coming into a derby game for a little while. What do you think of your guys' performance last week against the Saints that Eddie had there?
A little bit like yours in that it wasn't a great spectacle and wasn't particularly impressive, although you guys obviously smashed Brisbane. It really felt for us like we were just going through the motions against St Kilda. Similar to Brisbane, they're at a similar sort of level. They're not, they're at the bottom of the table and they're down there for a reason. But, the game didn't reach any great heights. Our performance didn't reach any great heights. It wasn't a lot really that we could take out of it other than the form of McGovern and Lysett, and one of those guys will be playing for East Perth this week.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in pretty shortly because it was certainly a few interesting things in with the selections this week. But before we get to that, any other points you want to bring up, Seppo, about the game from the weekend?
Well, I actually tuned in a bit out of interest just watching that Eagles-Saints game. And one thing that I've actually picked up McGovern in my Supercoach side, so it took a bit of interest in how he played. And he actually looked pretty lethal up forward as another target. It's interesting how he's performing compared to Kennedy and Darling. And it's interesting to see how far back in the field Lacroix's playing now and the way that some Eagles players just look ashamed of themselves on last year. You just wonder if it's bit of form and fitness or positional changes that, you know, Simpson's tweaking. And I just thought it was a very scrappy affair and they didn't seem to have the skills. And like you mentioned, Foster, was almost going through the motions, some of them. They didn't seem really in tune with each other and the way they were pushing forward. And lucky for them, they did have a couple of guys stand up. And even from the Saints side of things, I think that young kid Billings did really well. And I think he earned a rising star performance for it, even on the losing side there.
Yeah, I didn't. I caught a little bit of the Eagles game in between having to do my chores for the fiance. But what I did like about McGovern is that even though you look at him and you go, okay, he hasn't really got an AFL body yet, which is to be expected, he's still a young guy, he still was able to hold his ground and be strong in the contest, which is always a positive for, you know, trying to be a big forward. Also really liked the work of Mark Hutchings. I think you've got a future very good player there.
Yeah, the knock on Hutchings is his disposal, which does need to improve a bit, but yeah, you're right, he had a good game. Seppo, you mentioned Lacroix playing up the ground a bit. He was actually starting in the centre square a lot of the time, which is unusual for him. Darling spent some time in there as well, so yeah, there's a bit of experimentation and guys being thrown around. but McGovern, which you touched on as well, he's looking really, really promising for a guy who at the start of the year was sent away to train by himself because he came back from the off-season out of shape. He's, he's firing on all cylinders, he's holding his ground, as you said. He's crashing packs, he's plunking marks. We're loving him at the moment. He's probably the real positive that we've taken out of this season so far.
Yeah, the other thing, I suppose, as well, is that, I mean, I've done a little, like, done a bit of work with, you know, looking at him at Claremont and stuff, and the good thing about him is he has got that ability to take the mark at the top of the peak or the peak of where the ball is, so it does make it hard to spoil. It will be interesting to see down the track when he gets that second or third or second or better defender. So, I mean, it's either going to make it a little bit better for Kennedy or, as you said, it'll be just interesting to see how he develops over the next couple of years. Just before we move on to the waffle fixtures, anything else, Seppo or Balcom, you want to bring up on the Brisbane-Fremantle game before we move on?
I think it's enough said. That's not really one for the archives. I think you're probably not going to rewatch this game. And it was just great to see that we did actually get over the 100-point mark. It's something we've been trying to do, and great to see that, you know, we did kick 15-15. So some of those might have been rushed through under, you know, Brisbane's pressure. But it was great to see that we are hitting the scoreboard and getting a good spread, even though that, you know, Ballers and Pav have been bobbing up a bit. You know, Maine's starting to get on the scoreboard again, and we're starting to get a bit of goals out of midfield. So it's just really good to see that we did get a nice percentage booster and that we did get over the 100-point mark.
And the important part, that we're back in where we belong in the top four.
Yeah, I think
more importantly, out of the whole result was really the fact that Geelong lost. So we could have won and still be sitting in fifth, but the fact that Gold Coast did a favour, and that was brilliant. As I was driving to the pub to watch the game, listening to Harley Bennell, or Bennell, or however you pronounce his surname, he's
kicking a lazy six.
Yeah, didn't the knife through the side and cut them up in that last quarter. So it was great to see that, you know, someone else has done us a favour, and let's just hope we keep
Collingwood loss doesn't hurt either.
Yeah. I think the other important thing that out of the game was the fact that we did manage to boost our percentage also by 10 points. And obviously it does show a bit of a clear gap now between the top four and then the next tier below that. So that, I mean, that extra 10%, and when you look at the percentages, it's really probably an extra game that we're ahead now, really, by comparison to some of those teams below us. So that percentage could come critical at the over towards the end of the season as well. So
yeah, well, 28% over Geelong is what's put us into the four, and Geelong into five.
Yeah. All right. During the, obviously, another good result for Fremantle on the weekend as well was the fact that Peel managed to get off the canvas and actually have a win. And we also had a number of our waffle players there once again do quite well, with Morabito pushing his claims with a close to best on ground, if not best on ground performance, with 28 possessions and 2 goals, 3. And then obviously some of our other players like Kepler Bradley once again getting 23 touches. And we'll talk about him a little bit more later on. And Tabernacle getting 16 with 2 goals, but and also Apeness clonking a few marks. And I think
Jonathan Griffin with nearly 50 here. It's 47.
Yeah.
He's done that a couple of weeks in a row. So
Yeah, the only problem with Griffin is he just doesn't seem to be looking at his, I mean, he's certainly getting the hit outs, but he just doesn't seem to be with his contested marking. Probably wasn't as good as he was a couple of years ago. And I think he may still have, you know, obviously with his knee and that sort of stuff, but I think he'll sort of get better with it. But
yeah, when you got Kepler and Apeness taking what 9-10 marks apiece, so
yeah, I think
you got Hannes to do the work around the ground, so they're probably leaving Griffin to be more of a solid tap ruckman and let the other guys work around the ground.
I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see within probably the next month or so that Apeness does get an opportunity to play at the next level if he keeps going the way he is. He's got a beautiful set of hands and he actually finishes pretty well. So he probably doesn't. He's probably a little bit like what we were just talking before about McGovern. He probably just lacks maybe that body strength at the moment, but it'll be just interesting to see if maybe he gets an opportunity up there to see how he does perform, because
yeah, but he probably had the better body out of all the guys we drafted this year.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's probably why he went early, but he's got a terrific set of hands. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if at some point down the track that maybe if they do give Pav a rest or a week off, that maybe, depending on how Tabernacle goes, that whether Pavlich will get an opportunity to show his wares in the, when he comes out, and go from there. Anything else that obviously Five Strings, you, the Eagles are a pretty comfortable win again. Any sort of highlights from their game during the week or on the weekend?
East Perth game you're talking about?
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it, but the best performers were apparently Paddy McGinnity had it 30-odd times. So he's coming to the side this week on the back of that and a few good games in a row. Now, Callum Sinclair's obviously putting, stringing a few really good games together for East Perth, but he's in the unfortunate position of being the fourth of four very good ruckmen that we've got, so he's stuck there for a while. Blaine Wilson, apparently, a bit of a forgotten man, but he played a pretty good game across halfback as well.
Yeah, I think the problem with Blaine is he just looks, I know he's not a bad user, but he looks a bit slow when he gets up to that next level. And So it'd be
precisely.
Yeah, it'd be a bit tough for him this week. So moving.
Josh Hill pretty quiet too. I want to kick a couple of goals.
And one of his better games. Thought he might possibly have come in this week for Cripps, but didn't happen.
What's the word on Dom Sheed? You know, your highly touted first draft pick.
He did get a couple of games early on, didn't he?
He got a couple early on. Back and...
Yeah, I think he's had four, and three of them he started as the sub. So he's had some very, very small tastes of it, but I think he's just been sent back to East Perth to develop. I did hear at one stage that he's at East Perth they're trying to get him to develop his outside game a bit more. He's obviously pretty accomplished inside midfielder at during the under-18s and drafted on the strength of that, but they're now trying to sort of round him out a bit more. Yeah. So I think that's what they're developing. Would be nice to see him back in the side for the second half of the year. We're all hopeful.
Yeah, I think he'll be I watched him quite a lot as a junior, particularly for Subiaco, and I think he will be a very good midfielder for West Coast in the next year or two as he develops. And even though he's not playing sort of at the moment, I think a lot of teams forget how it's not that easy just to walk in and get a game straight up. Even though there's a few players that do it, it does take a couple of years to develop. And I mean, Fremantle can even see it ourselves with guys like Sheridan and those sort of blokes have taken a couple of years to sort of get used to that.
We haven't played a draft pick this year, have we?
Not yet, no.
So Brady Gray was close.
That's it.
So moving on to the obviously the more important thing, which is obviously the Derby this week. Just one change for Fremantle, and probably not one that anyone really expected before that, which was Matty Tabiner coming into the side and Alex Silvani going out with the rib injury that he probably copped a couple of weeks ago.
And they're talking about a possible small injury to the lung as well.
Yeah, I think there might be a small puncture in the lung. They're not so it could be...
Well, we had that early clash. I wonder if it's an existing one or that clash early with Sutcliffe that happened a couple of minutes into the game.
And he had the one last week. And he had the one last week where he caught the knee right in the ribs as well.
Yeah. So hopefully hopefully he'll be back to go. Obviously this week Lee Spurr playing his 50th game for Fremantle, which is obviously a good milestone for him, particularly after going around from Queensland to South Australia and then getting an opportunity. And obviously sort of the other main man they've been talking a lot about this week was David Mundy, who gets his 200th game. So a massive game for him as well. Five Strings, do you want to go through the changes for West Coast?
Yeah, I think I've probably alluded to both of them before, but Cox comes back after 2 weeks of resting, and I'm doing the air quotes for resting. comes in at the expense of Lysett, who had one very good game against Gold Coast and one pretty good game against St Kilda as well. A bit of a shame to see him out. I understand that Cox is our games record holder and all of that, and has been a great ruckman for many years, but his form this year has been, I'll say, average, and I'm being charitable there. It's really not a change that's made with an eye on the future, unfortunately.
But is an average Cox better than Scott Lysett, though? I think that's the question that Simpson would have asked.
Very debatable, and an average Cox coming off a couple of weeks' rest might be better than a good Lysett. But
how many games in a row has Lysett played before he got dropped? Was it a couple or did he an extended run?
No, just the two. Would have been nice for him to have an extended run.
Yeah, and it'll be certainly an interesting decision. And I know there's been probably quite a bit of talk on the boards about which, you know, on both boards about which is the best combination for them to use. I mean, for me personally, I think Lysett was been pretty handy, and you know, I'm not too disappointed not to see him playing this week. Obviously, the big thing for us as a Freo in the Freo side was the fact that, as you probably alluded to earlier, Seppo, when we were maybe talking off air, was the fact that this will be one of the few first games we've ever gone in with only one recognised key defender, with obviously Silvani, Johnson and McFarlane all out. So our work will be cut out against the taller West Coast forwards.
It's a real shame we've actually lost Silvani here, and the logical replacement would have been Kepler, who's had a couple of weeks in a row now playing down back after returning from his ACL injury for Peel. So you'd think it'd be, and we have been playing a straight back with like-for-like replacements, so it's quite interesting that we've actually dropped Silvani, brought in Tabiner, and he has been named on the interchange. So may not be final teams, but it'll be quite interesting to see, and the fact that we're going to have Dawson and relying on maybe Ibbotson and maybe even Main or Mzungu dropping back there, having to play on the taller Eagles, this change of bringing Tabiner in seems to be one that's confused a lot of people on the board. And we've seen it every week that there's one that either makes the interchange or the emergencies that sort of throws a couple of people out. And I think this one's got a lot of people scratching their heads, because Tabiner certainly hasn't set the world on fire. He's been quite solid and serviceable for Peel over in the last couple of weeks and has been named as a emergency a couple of times. But it's quite interesting that we've gone this way only based on the fact that we've got the opponents with the strong, tall Eagle forward line. If we were against another side that didn't have a good set of key forwards, you know, going back to the Brisbane game just last week, you could sort of understand it. But this week it's left a lot of guys scratching their heads.
But is Tabiner actually going to go into the back line, you reckon? Because where's he going to go into the forward line? Because you're running Pavlich, Clark.
Expense of someone else.
Well, yeah.
I mean, never listen to the lineup when you read it, but they've got Gary Gibson at centre half back.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I think they may even toy with the idea that Main goes back in defence now. I know he got exposed a few times against Darling last time.
And Tabiner goes up forward in place of Main.
The other thing that Tabiner also does, and I mean, when you watch him, he actually does run really good patterns when he runs. And he's a good leading forward out wide. And whoever plays on him will have to run. And it basically means that if you have someone who is not a leading forward or someone who can run up and down the ground all the time, for example, say like Zach Clark, it just allows that his opponent just to suck off and take up Pavlich's space as well, so they can play that second man or two-on-one, where at least if you play on Tabiner, if they're going to bring the ball out, he'll run up to the wing, and if they don't stick with him, then obviously Tabiner can be used up there. I don't expect him to get a lot of inside ball inside 50, but I think what he will try and do is push the key Eagles defender, whether it's Mitch Brown or McKenzie or whoever it may be, or Schofield, push them up the ground and then sort of make it a little bit more difficult for them to have that one-on-one contest. Because even though the Eagles have McKenzie Brown, Schofield sort of likes to run up the ground a bit more. They don't have a lot of key backs themselves in there. And obviously Mitchell and Brown and McKenzie will be the two that would be looking to take on Pavlich. Normally, obviously Glass has been able to do that, but he's obviously retired now. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they go with it. The other sort of interesting point, I think, in this one, as you mentioned, Seppo, is the fact that not too often does Fremantle change their lineup unless there's an injury, but this feels like one of those weeks where there could be a late change. I'm not sure exactly whether Bradley may come in. I can't see Morabito sort of coming in or Sheridan, but depending on the conditions and that sort of stuff, you probably wouldn't be shocked if there was a late change for Fremantle, which is
I still wouldn't be overly surprised. I'm not trying to do the fairy tale, but I wouldn't be overly surprised to see Morabito come in, especially just mentioning the fact that, you know, Main could go back and play that other key post down back, and then that gives an option for Morabito to run off half forward and present up. I mean, he's, 191, 6'3", he's good size, he's got good run, he's had some good run in him for the last month and a half down at Peel, it's still possibly an option. I mean, the weather's fine. It's going to be 17, 18 degrees, no rain. So,
if you're going to do that, though, you might as well put Morabito where he's played at Peel. I mean, he's played a lot of his footy off half back, so you might as well leave Main up forward, who can give you that forward pressure, and then use Morabito in that half back role. And they'll probably
Do you want him taking on big bodies in his first game back, though?
Well, he'll probably play. They could either do it one of two ways. Depending on how they use Mzungu, Mzungu could either be the loose man playing the Michael Johnson role, or they could play Morabito in that role, and he could be that third man up. And then because he uses the ball reasonably well, he could play in that third man role.
Yeah, that's possible.
So,
well, the interesting thing, I've just been looking at the team now and working. Mzungu plays really tall and gets back really well. But the one that games during this year that you've seen with the balls being kicked into the opposition forward line is Sandland's actually bobbing up there and moving around the ground and actually cutting off that kick.
And taking that defensive contested mark too.
Yeah, so if they've got their resting, if Cox is going to play forward and try and stretch us there, it might be one where Sandlands will just run around with him and nullify that sort of contest, or if they are going to bomb it in, then
you don't want Sandy defending Cox on a lead, though.
No, but well, that's where the other guys will obviously block the run. But if they are going to play a stationary target, you know, Dawson and Ibbotson will take the guys running up the field. But Sandlands is one that's been pretty good at killing the contest, especially when we start to get a slower, congested game and he has time to run around. Because obviously we've got Clark's been very good on the spread and getting that ruckman that plays around the ground and that forward get-out kick. He's been pretty good and he's quite athletic to run. I'd rather Clark be the forward running mobile guy and leave Sandlands rucking back. And obviously, to neutralise, you know, Cox and Nat Nui when they're in that really dangerous position in Eagles' forward half.
Just one quick question, Five Strings. I find it interesting, like as you said last week, they've moved Lacroix up into the middle of the ground, obviously to cover some of the deficiencies in the midfield a little bit. And obviously they're looking to, and Wellingham's been playing in a tagging role. Who do you see being the crumbing forward for West Coast? Obviously they're going to have all these tools there. If the ball comes to ground, Who do you think, if Lacroix's playing in the middle and Wellingham's tagging, who's going to be that forward? Is it going to be Maston, or who do you think they're going to play in that role? Because they don't really have a recognised small forward out there at all.
Very, very good question. Not sure what the answer to it is. Wellingham can possibly play that role. It's not the best place to use him, I think, but he has... during his short time with us, he has sort of snuck forward and crumbed a few goals. I missed one change, which was McGinley coming in for Cripps. We sort of expected Cripps to get dropped, or there was talk as well during the week that he was injured. I personally expected Josh Hill to come in, and if he had, then he would obviously play that role of a crumbing forward. McGinley, I suspect, is coming in as a defensive forward. He might try and do a role on one of your running defenders, like a probably Duffield or one of those guys. Really not sure who plays the role of the crumbing forward. In the 22 at the moment, Nat Nui for crumbing the ball off the ground. It's a 6-7 guy.
It's interesting that you've dropped Cripps, because Cripps is the one, I think, early in the year when we last played. He was actually dominating quite a bit, so it's great for us to see him out. Who do you reckon is going to be one of the more damaging players, or guys that actually look like they're set to go and have a good patch of form?
Well, if we can get the ball in the forward line, and that's going to be a big issue for us, because your midfield is clearly streets ahead of our midfield. But if we can get the ball in there, then I think it's probably set for a guy like Darling to dominate. Just from what you guys have been talking about, the lack of key defenders that you've got on the side this week is really going to play into the hands, I think, of particularly Darling and McGovern, because they're going to get they're the guys who will get mismatches. I think Dawson will be with Kennedy all day. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but, I think that's fair to say.
Dawson normally takes a guy who's normally further forward, so whoever's out of the goal square will be taken by Dawson. So if that's Kennedy, then that'll be Kennedy.
Darling.
But Darling's been pushing up the ground a lot more, so are we overly worried about Darling getting the ball up on the wing?
Yeah, it's a good point. And maybe it's more McGovern that'll be the issue, because he's 6'5" and a really good overhead mark, and he'll be, if he's matched up against someone like Ibbotson all day, he's got the potential to be really dangerous.
Yeah, the other interesting one as well is just Five Strings having a look at the side. Obviously, in terms of the sub last week, they used Jamie Bennell as the sub, and now I can't imagine they would use Jamie Bennell in that role this week, obviously with Ballantyne, who's been in pretty good form. Gaff's on the bench. I mean, McGinnity would be probably, you would think, would be the obvious option with obviously him or Xavier Ellis, but you wouldn't imagine that you would want to bring McGinnity into the side because he's not a quick bloke. You wouldn't want to necessarily bring him in just to play that sub role for a quarter. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way they go with that sub in that sub role.
I'd say Butler is the sub, probably. Maybe Ellis. McGinnity, I don't think, is a good sub. He is reasonably quick, but he's not an offensive-minded player at all. The idea, I think, with the sub is to bring on a guy fresh and try and hurt the guys who have dead legs in the last quarter, and McGinnity is just not going to be able to do that. I really think he's been brought in to play Cripps' role, which is sort of a pressure, defensive-minded sort of half-forward pocket.
And for Seppo and Valcrum, obviously, looking at our bench, obviously Clancy Pearce sort of stands out as the obvious option is the sub, but is that how you feel it will go, or do you feel that someone else may get the red vest this week?
Oh, I think Clancy again. Based on his performance, he really didn't do too much, but the ball didn't come down that way, especially in this weather.
He didn't need to do much. I mean, we were 80 points up.
It's sort of a bit unfair for him because that means he doesn't really get to show his wares. But you never. This would be something that they might decide on with the weather. If it's a wet game, you'd want Clancy playing the whole game. The old Thunder Tides for the contest. Yeah, and then bring someone else a sub. But if it is a drier game and looking at the other guys on the bench, you certainly wouldn't want Tabba coming on. And obviously Barlow's going to get a full game there. So maybe it's Sutcliffe and gets a taste of the sub vest again.
You say Sutcliffe and he hasn't played it all year, so.
Yeah, he's avoided the green vest, which haunted him the season before. So
Sutcliffe.
So it's quite interesting. You expect it to be Clancy Pearce.
But the other interesting point is which is the flip side of what we've just talked about, is that probably Sutcliffe doesn't have a natural matchup down back for West Coast.
Small forwards, yeah.
Because they don't really have one. Small. Like Lacroix probably is. I don't know if Sutcliffe would be good enough to play on Lacroix. You probably want to put a Lee Spur on him.
Yeah, if Lacroix is going forward, he's in the forward, you want Lee Spur on him. End of story.
Yeah, I think so. Sutcliffe may end up getting this sub vest this week, depending upon the final teams. The other interesting one will be obviously probably I think the key, one of the keys for West Coast is there, particularly if Hearn gets enough of the ball off half forward. So normally De Boer plays that tight role with obviously him out at the moment, or still even though he didn't get selected this week. So Colin Silver, you would have to think, would be earmarked for that type of role. So obviously he played a pretty reasonable game with his pressure last week. But if Fremantle are able to stop Hearn getting any sort of drive off half back, it really does sort of stop West Coast being able to kick over that midfield range and give them that quicker entry inside 50.
The other question is Crowley. Who does he go to, Shuey, or does he go to Rosa or Pritis? I just don't see the worth of him going to an inside mid. But, like he did in the olden days when he used to take on Kerr when Kerr was playing a bit more outside, just shut him, let him not go to Kerr when he's playing inside, and just shut out who he's trying to get it out to. So is that like a Rosa or a Shuey you're trying to get him to?
Yeah, it's going to be one of Rosa or Marston or Shuey because I don't think we've ever tagged Pritis over the last couple of years.
No, and I agree.
He doesn't have a disposal to hurt us, where I think Rosa in the past has. I think there was one.
He got 38 or something on the outside. Yeah, game or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where Crowley's probably going to go to. And obviously that Sylvia matchup on Hearn will be quite interesting because it actually gives Sylvia a good job and something he might actually be good at and do what De Boer has done for all these years past. So obviously if the ball's going to be sent into the Eagles' back line a lot, it's going to be Hearn that's going to do a good job for them getting the ball out. So that's a great sort of job role for Colin to play down there.
The other one, Five Strings as well, is that obviously quite regularly Fife was picked up by Scott Selwood, and they sort of tended to play head to head. Obviously, Scott Selwood's out for the season, or certainly a long period of time. Obviously, Fife will have a bit of an advantage, particularly if he drags whoever plays on him forward. Who do you see getting that role on Fife this week with Selwood not playing?
It might be Wellingham. He's probably sort of the next cab off the rank in terms of the midfielders who are able to do that tagging role. He did a pretty reasonable job for the three quarters on Ablett when Selwood first went out of the side, and Wellingham got a bit of a reprieve because he'd been dropped that week. Didn't really have a tagging role last week. I thought he might have gone to Jack Stephen, but he's probably the guy that I could see running with Fife for the day. But the problem we've got, though, is we can't tag all of your midfielders now. We can tag Fife, but then Mundy and Barlow get off the chain.
Fife and Hill are our two biggest targets for a tag. I've rarely seen Barlow and Mundy cop a hard tag, so
it's really too difficult to tag an inside mid. It's not point. You'd rather want to get the guy who's actually trying to deliver the ball. But I mean, the other question is Wellingham going to be good enough when Fife goes forward? Is he going to take him, or is he going to roll off and Hearn or Butler or Shepherd or whoever's going to take him when he goes to the forward line? Because Fife's been going forward and he's dangerous in the air. Overhead mark, he's dangerous. Is Wellingham going to be able to handle that?
Yeah, probably not. And if he does drift forward like that, I think it'll be one of our defenders, the guys you named, or maybe even a Schofield if he hasn't got his hands full with Taberna or whoever might pick him up, because at 5'6" and he's got great aerial ability. I think we really need to put someone with that who can match him for that. And yeah, maybe Schofield's the guy. While you guys were talking, I was just trying to think who might go to Hill, because he's another one who has carved us up in the past. Rosa possibly might run with him a bit. Although you're saying Crowley might run with Rosa. So
you'd think he'd go to Rosa or Shuey.
Yeah, I thought maybe either Shuey or Gaff, I would have thought. It's pretty rare that Rosa gets a tag.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing as well is, as you said, they're going to probably, I know in the past they've used Mzungu and Gaff and pretty much shut down Gaff and Shuey. Mm. The other part as well is obviously they're not going to bring McGinnity into the side for no reason, so he's probably going to be playing that tagging role. So he's obviously going to take one of those, either Fife, Crowley, or, I mean, sorry, Fife, Barlow, or Mundy. So it'll be interesting just to see the way West Coast decide to use it, or whether, as you said, they try to use him more as a defensive forward and try and stop that drive out of half-back line, maybe with the Duffield or someone similar like that.
Mm. So, Foster, do you reckon there's any chance of a late change for you, or the guys named for your emergencies? You've got Brennan, Cripps and Lysette. So do you reckon there's any chance of you guys, anyone under an injury cloud, or doesn't look like they're going to get up?
Shuey seems to be under an injury cloud every second week, so possibly he'd be an out. I think Cripps would probably come back in if that was the case. Brennan travelled to Melbourne with the team last week as the emergency, and he's the emergency again this week, but he hasn't played for the year. He hasn't been in spectacular form at East Perth. I couldn't see him coming in. Lysette's obviously there, but he's only going to come in if there is something happens to Cox or Matt Mooney late. So Cripps would probably be the guy to come in, but barring any sort of injuries, any late occurring injuries, I'd expect the team to go in as named.
And the other interesting thing is obviously we've got, for us, Seppo has probably got our favourite umpire back for the Derby, who always seems to give us a nice
run. Nuggets, number six.
Yeah. Always seems to love the limelight of the Derby and, always has an interesting... I'm surprised that they actually keep playing him in the Derby, because I would have thought it would have been better to... I know for a while there they ended up using three interstate umpires, so it'll be interesting to see if...
Well, the other two guys, Dalgleish and Mitchell, aren't too bad, so... It's always good. I think they've always got one young or rookie umpire into the mix, and you've never seen them up making stupid decisions. Or once you start to get there, know their name, that's when they're not doing their job. So hopefully Margetts has a great game.
Yeah, it's probably remiss of us as well. I know Matt Rose is playing his 150th this week, and as you said, he's been one of those players that has got a lot of the ball for West Coast. So it'll be interesting to see, as you said, the role, whether they try and sort of use him in a negating role or whether they just you know, because as you said, five strings, you can't negate everyone. So they've got to sort of pick the players they want to use it to try and get the ball. And then, you know, ones that we'll try and shut down with, obviously, depending on how we use it. So it'll certainly be a intriguing game. But as you said, I think it's going to be more a case of the midfield. I think West Coast can probably do all right in that first rotation through the midfield. I think it's when that second rotation comes through. And that's why they've probably tried to use Lacroix in there a little bit more, because he does give a bit of class in there. And obviously, if he's not there, they're going to struggle a little bit with when that second rotation goes through the middle there. Any other key matchups or points, guys, you want to bring up for the derby this week? Seppo, how about yourself?
No, I'm just quite confident. When you actually look at the named sides, I'm quite confident, other than the fact that we are missing that sort of second key defender. So that's why I'm hoping for a late change of Kepler coming in. But all in all, I'm quite pleased with the side. You know, there's not too many worries about who we've got out there. And I just hope that, obviously, they're backing in our mids to win the ball and push it forward and not have to worry about a key backman. So it's playing a bit of Russian roulette here. So we're just, you know, gambling our chances of winning the ball and not have to worry about going down there, because usually that's what they say when there's defenders, you know, getting a lot of ball over their way. It's all to do with pressure up the ground. So let's just hope that we're going to do well in the midfield and Sandilands can keep dominating. So if I'm going to put a tip on this game, I think it's going to be a close one, only because I don't think our great defensive record will stand here. And we might leak a couple, but I still think we're going to get a nice, comfortable win by about 30 or 40 points.
Okay, Valcrum, how about yourself?
Yeah, again, it's going to come down to make sure that our midfield stays on top of theirs so that it gives our defenders the best chance to compete. As you said, the tallness of the Eagles' forward line with Cox, Natnui running through there, Kennedy, McGovern and Darling versus literally Zach Dawson. I think that's going to be key. So our midfielders can hold strong, make sure we get the ball first and keep it moving forward for Ballantyne and Pavlich, who are both in a bit of form at the moment. Should do a long way to us, winning by, I reckon, 6 goals, 36.
And five strings, how about yourself?
I think you guys have hit the nail on the head. The key for us is going to be trying to get the ball out of the middle and get it inside 50 and do that quickly so that Sandilands and whoever else can't get back to fill up the space and negate the fact that our key forwards will have an advantage in the air. So if you can do that, if you can stop us doing that, then I think you should be able to win pretty comfortably. And on our podcast earlier in the week, I tipped you guys to win by 29, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah. I suppose one other thing we haven't mentioned yet is Eagles are coming off travel and a shorter turnaround time. So we've had the luxury of staying at home this week. Plus, we get the home ground advantage. So there's a couple of little factors there that sort of points it in our favour. But it'll be interesting just to see what happens.
And don't forget Monday's 200th.
Yeah.
It was a good omen with Sandy's 200th against the Eagles earlier in the year. Also, I think we forgot to mention Rose's 150th too.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, and obviously,
and Spurs 50th, you said.
Yeah, and Spurs 50th. So I mean, there's plenty of milestone games out there, and as you said, like both teams have got a fair bit to play for. As you said, I think Fremantle have got that sort of edge, and obviously the bit of buoyancy as well with after Fife re-signing and that sort of stuff as well. So all those sort of signs, as you said, Seppo, them coming off a 6-day break and having to travel, and Etihad's a pretty hard ground, and they to be honest, probably St Kilda probably pushed them a little harder than they probably would have thought last week. But it'll be interesting to see how those second-tier West Coast players go, in, you know, particularly like guys like Hutchings, who's had an opportunity, and those sort of guys. If those guys can stand up and get a little bit of the ball and certainly get, as you said, five strings in there fast enough to stop our guys getting back and counter-punching on the sort of rebound, then I think West Coast will certainly have a chance. But as soon as the ball hits the ground, I think it's going to be probably pretty tough for them to be able to sort of stick with us. And in terms of the run, I don't think... probably that's been the biggest problem for West Coast over the last probably year and a half, is the fact that they love running forward of the ball, but they tend not to run as strong defensively. And if you get guys like Pearce and Hill and those sort of guys on the outside and able to get that run going, I think they could be in for a bit of a longer afternoon. And I think probably that 6-7 goal would be a pretty fair indication of where the two sides are at the moment. Any other points you want to bring up, Seppo, before we finish up tonight?
No, only other big announcement was because it's Derby week, we've got our little grudge match on the East Coast. So the East Coast Eagles versus the Fitzroy Dockers will be playing this Saturday at Allard Park in East Brunswick. So myself and a couple of the other forum guys, we've got a team together and we're going to be facing the Eagles. So if you do want to come down, check the grudge match thread that's running on our board. We're going to be kicking off at 1 p.m. and then getting down to the Great Northern Hotel after the game. So if you don't want to come down to that, come down to the Great Northern. We've got the whole back beer garden booked to watch the Derby and go through a bit of a game day presentation of the medals afterwards. So it
should be good fun. I've actually seen them train.
Yeah, so it's a great day, and hopefully the weather holds up, because what weather you've guys copped in WA has made its way over to Melbourne, so it's quite cold and wet, and hopefully it all blows over and we have a good day, and yeah, it should be a good one.
All right, absolutely, and thanks for joining us this week, Five Strings. It's been great to have you on board, and always good to get some opposition analysis and see how you guys are going to go, and all the best for the weekend, although we can't wish you too much luck, and hopefully we'll get the points.
I think you can wish us as much luck as you like, because we're going to need it. But yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a really good experience, actually. It's a much different vibe to our podcast, which is basically just us talking rubbish and exchanging Simpsons quotes.
Nothing wrong with a bit of Simpsons either, just quietly. And Valcrim, always good to have you on board, mate. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Not a problem.
And we'll hopefully see all the Freo supporters there this week. Obviously, the crowd down a little last week, but it was a bit tough with the monsoonal conditions, and certainly sitting a few rows back from the interchange bench myself, it was a bit wet there at times, but hopefully we'll get back to the sunshine this week, and Fremantle will be able to honour Monday's 200th and Spurs 50th game with a good win and keep our spot inside the 50. Thanks for joining us again this week, and we'll catch you again next week. Bye for now.